is the Father. Hallelujah. So we say happy Father's Day to him. Hallelujah. We thank God. Haboshaya. We thank him for being our Father today in the name of Jesus. I thank God. Hallelujah. To our King. Hallelujah. When the praise and worship team was singing, he was singing, it was a part of the song that say, I lay all my crowns down. And when we think about that, we lay all our issues down. Everything that may have tried to keep us from receiving God, all the things that may have tried to keep us from walking in the things of God, we lay them down today. We lay them down. Hey, oh, Shahaya. We lay them down, but we lift Jesus up. We lay our crowns down, but we lift Jesus up. Hallelujah. The Bible says if he be lifted up, that he will draw men unto him. If he be lifted up. So we lift you up, Jesus. We come to magnify your name. We come to exalt you today, God. For you are God, and there you are God alone. In the name of Jesus. So God, as we come this morning, we come, oh God, for no other reason, oh God, to exalt your name. For you are the risen one. You are the one to be exalted. So, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God, how you looked over us last night. Hey, Shaha. And you kept the death angel away. God, you woke us up this morning. You clothed us in our right mind. Warm blood running through our veins. Activity of our limbs. So, God, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for we know that you didn't have to, but you did it anyway. We know that we didn't deserve it, but you did it anyway. Father, we thank you, God. We pray now, God, Isaiah. We pray, God, for those that are here today. We thank you, God, for allowing us, oh God, to come over the dangerous highways, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We pray now, as we get ready to open up this word, open up this book of life, but you say your word is spirit, and your word is life. So Father, we open up this book of life in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we come for no other reason but to just say thank you to you. Happy Father's Day to you, Jesus. Happy Father's Day to you, God. You told us in the scriptures, if you be our Father, where's your honor? We honor you today. We honor you. We honor you. We honor you. Without you, there's no us. So we honor you. Hallelujah. So Father, we thank you today. We give you all glory and honor and praise. Let the saints of God say amen. Amen. Let's clap our hands in the sanctuary. I dare you to shout. I dare you to shout that Jesus is Lord. I dare you. I double dare you. Jesus is Lord. I dare you. Shout out, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Hallelujah. We bring you greetings this morning, amen, for Empowering Word Ministries. Hallelujah. 1168 Highway 52 South, Waynesboro, North Carolina, where our leaders are Apostle Reginald J. White and Pastor Emma B. White. We thank God for our leaders in their absence. Amen. We thank God for our spiritual father, Apostle Reginald J. White. Amen. In his absence. Amen. You can do better than that. Amen. You can do better than that. A true man of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says, amen, in Jeremiah 3:15, that God told us that he would give us pastors after his own heart. And he did not lie when he thought about us. He had us in the plan. He had us in the plan. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11 said, I know the thoughts of the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of good and not evil. To bring you to an expected end. To bring you to a future and a hope. God had us in mind. Look at your neighbor and say, God had me in mind. Yes, 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 yes. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Amen. Happy Father's Day. Amen. To all the fathers in the house. Amen. May all the fathers in the house. Happy Father's Day. And all those of you that one day will be fathers. Are we up saying it early? Happy Father's Day to you as well. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am excited about being here. Let me slow down just a little bit. Y'all all right? Amen. Give honor to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without him, there's no me. There's none of us. Amen. Thank God for him. Thank God for my wife. Amen. Elder Loretta Cohen. Amen. Hallelujah. My strong tower. I tell you. The more years we stay together, the the more I see how much importance she is to me. Love you. Thank God for Elder Parker, amen, who keeps things running well around here, amen. Let's give her a hand, amen. Amen. She does it, amen. She makes sure, amen, we stay on post. Everybody got a role to play. I thank God for her playing her role. Amen. 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 Thank God for all of you ministers and the parishioners and partners. I don't want to leave anybody out because all of you are important to the body. Amen. We don't have no small body parts, no big eyes, no little U's. Everybody's a part of something in God's house. Amen. Say God's house. Amen. Amen. As I have already said before, thank God for our leader, Apostle Reginald White, in his absence. Amen. We thank God for him. Thank God for the vision that he has for this region. Amen. Thank God that we have been asking and praying that men will be added to our church on daily. And I thank God for those of you that are here. But amen, those of us that's already partners, I want you to start looking around and say, get ready because more are coming. Amen. I prophesied this morning in the name of Jesus that there will be men coming to this church, amen, with their hands lifted up, one without wrath and one without doubt. They will come and they will serve. They will come and be a part. Amen. 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 I thank you, God, for them that I was praying for the men, and God told me that God is going to send the men, oh God, Issachar, those that's going to come, and they're going to know what to do. Amen. They're going to know the timing. Huh? This is a time, amen, that the men will come together. Amen. That's a time that leadership and men are coming because of the time they in, and God told me that, and when he told me that, he said that the sons of Issachar, when they get here, we ain't gonna have to prompt them, we ain't gonna have to pull on them, they're gonna be ready to go. Amen. 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 Thank God, amen, for that. Amen. Hallelujah. We've been talking, amen, hallelujah, glory to God, for we've been talking about Joshua all year, amen. And the more we look at it, amen, the more you look at it, the more you read it, you see more, amen. You see more into it, amen. And I'm gonna try to stay on my topic. My topic is when trauma tries to travel with you. And I know this is Men's Day, amen. This is the Men's Day, Father's Day, amen. But also, I want you to grasp and get what the Word says today. Amen. But, you know, the Word has no gender. Amen. The Bible says that there's no male or female in the eyes of God. Amen. So take this Word. Amen. Take this Word. We're getting ready to unleash and listen to the Word that's being said today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Joshua 3 and 24. The Bible says he has done these miracles so that all the earth will be in awe of the mighty power of Yahweh, who is God, and that you might always obey Yahweh, your God. If you would go back up to, I say, let's turn back to verse 21. Yeah, verse 21. And it says, he told the Israelites, and this is God, he told the Israelites, no, and in time to come, when children ask their fathers, why are these stones so important? Verse number 22, tell them, here is the place where the Israelites crossed the Jordan on the dry ground. Verse 23, for your God, Yahweh, dried up the waters of Jordan before your eyes until you crossed over, just as Yahweh, your God, did for us years ago. He dried up the Red Sea while we crossed over. Next verse. I like this. And he done this, hallelujah, he done these miracles so that all the earth will be in awe of the mighty power of Yahweh, and that you might always be Yahweh, your God. So God created these miracles so that we will always, amen, understand what God did for us, amen. And the 12 stones, we talked about the 12 stones. The 12 stones was the representative of the children of Israel. And the 12 stones, hallelujah, represented the 12 the tribe of Israel. And when God when God was talking, and he asked them to get 12 leaders, amen, from each tribe, amen. We know that the tribe of Israel is another tribe of Jacob, because Jacob was Jacob before God renamed him to Israel. So those 12 stones were to be a reminder to those that when they come back over and they say, what are these stones for? He said, these are the stones to show that God brought us out. Amen. We used to sing a song back in the day. It said, I will never forget what the Lord has done for me. So those stones was a representation of what God wanted the children of Israel to remember, that when they brought their forefathers out of Egypt and they walked through the Red Sea, and then now they are he has taken them through the River Jordan. He said, I want you to always be able to tell that what I did for the miracles, amen, because I don't want you to never forget what the Lord has done for me. Amen. So at this time, I want you to reflect in your mind what God has done for you that you will never forget. There's some things that God delivered us from. There's some things that there's some places that we was there, but we shouldn't have been there, but God took us out of there. Amen. There's some people, amen, that was in our lives, amen, that we thought was good people to us, but God removed them out of our life, and then we was able to flourish. I will not forget what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. I won't forget, amen, what he did, amen. And so this was a reminder to the children of Israel of what God has done. And I like that, because he was talking, brothers, he was talking to the men. He was talking to the men. When he was talking, men in Jewish custom, men was the leaders of the family. Amen. Look at me, hey, brothers, look at me. We was the leaders. Amen. And I know over a course of time, that may have changed in some ways, because sometimes, most of the time, when we think about men and leadership, most of the time we just think about working. Men think about providing. But do we ever think about that another part of our job or our leadership is to lead our family in the things of Christ? That's our job. That's our job. I'm going to show it to you. Psalm 78 and verse number 5. And the Bible says, and the story of Israel is a lesson to God's ways. He established decrees. What decrees are? Decrees are laws. Decrees are rules. He established decrees. Hallelujah. He established decrees for Jacob, and established the law in Israel. And he commanded for forefathers to teach them to their children. Who's supposed to be teaching? Us men, we're supposed to be teaching, amen. We're supposed to be teaching the laws of the things of God to our children. And I know, sometimes we have to get there, amen. We have to get there, because maybe sometimes the example that we had as men coming to worship, you know, I'm gonna go there in a minute too. But one of the things that we always, for the most part, it was the ladies, the women that was coming to church, and we came. Most of us as men, I'm one. I came to church with my mama. I cannot remember my dad actually leading us to go to church. I remember him carrying us in his car and dropping us off and coming picking us up when it was time to go. But my mother was the one said, y'all gonna go to church, y'all gonna go to Sunday school, y'all going blah blah. And basically what he did, he amplified what she said. That's how it was. But as men, God should be the first thing on our life. Be the first thing on our mind. God should be as men, we should want to make sure that our children's children, amen, know that who God is through us. Amen. And I understand that there are times, and I say that that my wife, hallelujah, is an awesome intercessor. She's an awesome prayer, but that don't stop me from praying. That don't stop me from praying for my children, amen, because even though that may be happening in your household, we still have a responsibility to pray. We still have a responsibility. I'm going to show it to you. We have the responsibility to lead our family in prayer. Yeah, I mean, ain't nothing wrong. You know, by fact, the Bible says two are better than one. Hallelujah. So if you have a spouse that is a strong intercessor, a strong prayer, amen. That don't negate that we don't pray because our wife. Actually, we should lead the prayer because God put us in that role. He put us in the leadership role, amen. Hallelujah. I was this morning. Before I got to church, some of my children, they were sending me texts and things. And one of my sons said, he said, "Daddy, I can always know that Daddy would pray. Daddy would pray for me." Now, like I said before, my wife is a strong intercessor. But I do pray for my children. There are times I get on the phone, she'll send a prayer through text. She may send a scripture. Sometimes I just get on the phone and just start praying. I just call them and just start praying. I don't know why, but God sometimes alert as fathers. Fathers that's embedded with God, that's in tune with God, He will show you things about your children. You may not always know, but some say, "Well, I better check on that boy. Let me call him." And you call and start praying, then because my son will be working at what I call him, and then sometimes they'll call me back and say, "Dad, how you know that? Dad, you know I was going through this today. I didn't know, but the Lord, the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, the Holy Ghost pricked my spirit, amen, to connect with His spirit." So when we talk about Mark 18 and 1, glory to God. In Mark 18 and 1, the Bible says Jesus was teaching a lesson, and he told them, amen. Okay, one day, I was going to tell you the story. Amen. One day, Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. As God is bringing men into the fold, brothers, when we pray, we can't give up. When we pray, we got to believe that when we pray that God hear us. We got to believe that when we pray that God opens up doors for us. Amen. I gave you the wrong one. It's Luke 18. Well, I'm sorry. But God opens up doors for us when we pray. When we pray. Amen. And it might not be a long prayer. Amen. It might be a short prayer. But whatever you pray, amen, believe that God heard what you said. I remember, and I'm not going to talk too much about myself today because God is greater than me. But I can remember that my father, when my father was real sick, I watched my father, who was my hero, I watched my father go from 180 pounds to probably like 90 pounds because of cancer. I remember my dad I was 14. I remember Brother Jackie. I remember picking my father up and walking him to the bathroom and putting him on the commode at 14. And so at night, because they didn't have all the cancer treatments like they got now. This is like in 1975, 74 and 75. He died in 75. So they didn't have all the treatments they got now. So that would be nice in the middle of the night. My dad would call. I was the oldest. And my dad would call and he would cry. And he would say, he would call and he said, "James, come get me." That meant I need to go come get him, take him to the bathroom. Because he didn't want to bother my mother. My mom, she could do it, but he didn't want her to see him in that condition where she had to do it. Even though she did do it sometimes. But mainly that was my job because I was the oldest. My brother was only 9. He was the youngest. And so he would call in the middle of the night, and he would say, "James, come get me." And I remember one night, brother, I was laying in my bed, and I was crying. I'm like, "This is my daddy. I love my daddy. I hate to see him go through this." And Elder, I cried one night, and a tear rolled out of my face. I said, "Well, Lord, if you ain't going to heal him, take him home with you." He died 3 days later. God heard my prayer. Because he lost all his weight. He couldn't hardly keep stuff on his stomach. He couldn't walk. And I knew that's not, my dad was a strong man. My dad was a strong man. Short, built, muscles. I didn't get none of those muscles. None of that. I don't know what happened to that part. But I remember that when I prayed 3 days later, the Lord took him home. And what I'm saying, when you pray, God hears you. If you're sincere about what you pray for, God hears you. God has given us as men, amen, the responsibility to lead and care for our families. Amen. That's our job. Look at your neighbor and say, that's our job. If you're a brother, say, that's my job. And I understand, and when I was coming up, I was 14 when my father died, so I didn't get to learn all the life lessons that I was able to teach some of my sons. So only thing I always remember about my father, he always worked. I remember that. I always knew that I was supposed to support my family. I knew that at 14 because I saw him do it. I saw him go to work sick, amen, because he had to provide for me and for my mother and my sister and my brother and I. So I saw that. So that was engraved in me, but I didn't get the spiritual part. But God said that's okay. God said, I'm your father. He said, I told you I'll never leave you. I'll be your ever present help in the time of trouble. I'll never abandon you. I mean, so we understand as men that we have a role to play, amen, in our families. One of the things Apostle White told us when men, most of men, I don't know, when we used to have men classes, he used to tell us that the man sets the thermostat, the temperature of the house, in his house. We did. So, and it must be true because there was a writing came out, so goes the man, so goes the family. So that's a role that we play in look and rear in our families. But I want to get back to you because when we're talking about trauma, what is trauma? Amen. What is trauma? You know, trauma has been defined as a physical, it says a psychological event that could cause emotional or distress, also upsetting. It can be very upsetting, and it basically happens an impact and also a sense of keeping us from moving to what God wants us to be. Trauma. Amen. Trauma. It can keep us from recognizing our self-worth. Trauma. Amen. We all may have experienced some type of trauma in our lives, but God's telling us now that he's getting ready to take us over. He's getting ready to take us to another level. Amen. He's getting ready to elevate us. So basically what he's telling us, we cannot take the trauma that we experience over to the other side. We can't take abandonment. Amen. The Lord spoke to me this morning as I was praying, and he said some men are suffering, amen, for abandonment because sometimes some fathers did not, some fathers didn't stay around. Some fathers, even then, some was in the house, but they wasn't very demonstrative of the things of God. But God said, I'm coming to heal you of that because you can't carry that with you. He said, you're gonna have children and you're gonna lead children. And if I'm gonna make you a great father, amen. As he told Abraham, I'm gonna make you a father of many nations. You cannot let this trauma follow you to your next place. You cannot allow it to carry over to your next to the place that God is trying to elevate you to, because God is moving us to a place that we never seen before. He's doing something in our lives that we have never experienced before. And I know that some of the things that we went through, it may have hurt us to build us. You know, it hurt us to build us, to make us more conducive to what God is trying to do in our life. It didn't feel good when we went through it, but when we got through it, God said, I let you know that I was with you. It didn't feel good. It didn't feel good that at 14, I was burying, we was burying my father. It didn't feel good. But what it did, it allowed me always to be, with 14 years old, I was all, my brother and my sister, which is younger than I, they always tell them, I worked, I helped my mama pay bills. I didn't really need the help because we had money, but I did it because I saw my daddy do it. I used to see if I thought she wanted something and I didn't have, I would go get it. or I tried to get, I was doing this at an early age. And because of that, some things happened in my life, but I had an example. One thing I always knew, I had to work. I always knew I had to provide. That was one thing I always knew. I mean, it was, and when I couldn't, can I be honest? Can I be transparent? There was times that I wasn't always there, and it would hurt me. Some days when I couldn't provide for my family like I needed to, I would lay in the bed late at night. El Loretta wouldn't see me, but the tears rolled down my face because I knew I wasn't. That's the one thing that I knew that my daddy taught me that I felt like I wasn't doing. So what I'm saying is that even though I took my tears and I told God about it, I said, God, you got to help me. And he helped me every time. Every time he helped me. I mean, without getting jobs, amen, going from one place to another, I mean, there was times I got jobs that I didn't even know, I didn't even apply for. I got jobs, people called me and said, hey, and decent jobs. And they would tell me, because God was with me. And I didn't understand it, Minister Marshall. I didn't understand he was with me. But all I know that he always opened doors for me. So trauma can cause us to miss the mark of God. If we don't get healed, if we don't get delivered, amen. You know, sometimes, you know, we say, oh, I cannot be real with the brothers today. We say, we all right. We good, you know, and we're not. But we've been conditioned to say that. We've been conditioned to talk. We've been conditioned to not speak with other men and talk to other men because sometimes that's a sign of weakness. If I tell this brother that I can't get no job, I don't have a job, then he thinks something wrong with me. Why he can't work? He able. He walking, he talking. Amen. What's causing him to be that way? What's causing this trauma in his life? Instead, but men, we are going to the other side. So when we encounter those things, we say, let me pray for you. Can I assist you? Brother, I'm not trying to get in your business. I'm just trying to make sure that we get on the other side together. I'm not trying to come and show your insecurities and your deficiencies because I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to please God. And while I'm pleasing God, I want to bring you with me. Y'all all right? I had to understand, even in my life, because even I had to understand that when men ask me things, and I thank God, and sometimes you God send people in your life, and you don't really recognize them at the point, at the time, that why they sent them in your life. I thank God, amen. My brother came in a while ago, Jackie Wilson. He came in. I love Jackie. Jackie always said those things that you think he should not say. He gonna ask when I was going through, he would come and he'd say stuff to me and I'd be wanting to hit him in his jaw. But it challenged me. That's what God do. He don't always send you people that's gonna be your attaboys and yeah, boy, you all right. No, I wasn't all right. And I needed somebody to tell me I wasn't all right. See, we get caught up in the accolades and all those people that's cheering for you today. A lot of times those people are cheering for you because they're trying to get to where you get to. And when they get to where you get to, they're going to drop you. I love it. Brother Gary don't say much. He don't tell me, you know, the times that we've been in this ministry, he don't say much. But now when I go through, he come and he just say something. You all right? And sometimes he just put something in my hand. You good? You know, he don't always say, Cohen, what's wrong? We don't even have a conversation. But God put people in our lives that way because of the fact that he know we're trying to get to the other side. See, if we always had people in our lives that we was always pulling each other down, you know, one of the things I used to do when I was a kid, amen, I used to catch bumblebees and put them in the jar, put the top on them, and then you watch them. They pull each other down. If you stay there long enough, all the bees be dead in a matter of an hour. Because why? They ain't trying to figure out. Everybody trying to get out. And sometimes in life, that's what happens with us in life, that sometimes in life, we all of us just trying to get out. One ain't trying to help the other. Then we all perish. But God don't want it that way. That's not, look at your neighbor and say, that's not the God's way. Yeah. So when we talk about trauma, amen, trauma, as I said, it could be emotional distress. It could be something that be something that you may experience as a child. Maybe somebody said something to you that you ain't gonna be nothing. That can be a trauma, especially if somebody you love. Because when somebody tell me I ain't gonna be nothing, I don't have no relationship with them. Hey, I don't care about them talking. But when it comes out of the house, David said, I was not wounded at the table. I wasn't wounded by the enemy, but I was wounded at the table by a friend, by somebody who was close to you. Those people that's close to you, those are the things that hurt. Those are things that you hurt. I remember, and I'm going to get off of me. I remember my grandmother, she was my step-grandmother. And I had to understand as I got older why it was like that. She had grandkids that wasn't my grandfather's, and then all of us would be together. And she seemed like she would favor her grandkids more than she would favor my grandfather's grandkids. And I remember because of some of the things, and some of the things my grandfather caused on his own, that so some of that she was probably making those statements because she was mad at him. She wouldn't say it to him, so she said it to me. Some of those things. Y'all be in those situations. Yeah, maybe you're not. But, so I remember one time I was getting ready and my grandmother told me, she said, you ain't going to be nothing. She said, you ain't going to be nothing because you like skirts too much. But my granddaddy liked skirts. So she wasn't talking to me. She was talking to him, but he wasn't in the room. But that stuck with me. So I always remember when I went off to graduate, Sister Barbara, when I went off to college and came back with my degree, the first person I came, when I drove from Columbia, South Carolina, when I got my degree to Morven, North Carolina, took my degree and put it in her hand. Because she never thought I could do that. I want her to know that, hey, you cannot determine who I am to who I'm gonna be tomorrow by what I'm doing today. See, that's what happens. See, I just heard God say, you cannot judge me today about what I'm going to do tomorrow. God's getting ready to do something great. God's getting ready to do some great things, amen. But we are still carrying the trauma of 20 and 30 years ago. We're not going to move to the next place God is trying to get us to. That's why God is trying to get us, amen. That's why he was telling Joshua, you know, he spent before I went to Joshua, the fourth chapter, the first three chapters, God was taking Joshua and teaching him leadership. He was spending time with him and telling him, he said, you're going to be the leader, amen. You're going to be the leader since my servant Moses is dead. You're going to be my leader, and I'm going to empower you before I elevate you. See, elevation, I told the church in Rockingham, amen, there's no elevation, amen. There's no elevation without instruction. You know, many of us work on a job. When you started your job, you didn't just go on the job and start working. You had to go through orientation. When you first started working, amen, you had to go through orientation, you had to fill out the documentation, then after that, whatever job you had to work with somebody a week or maybe 2 weeks or how long, whatever the job required before they release you to do that job on your own. So why would Christianity be any different? So God had to instruct Joshua. He had to tell Joshua, you know, he said, you got to be strong, courageous. If you would, go to Joshua 1 and 9. Joshua 1 and 9. I don't want to misquote the scripture. And the Bible says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid of the discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Don't you know that the Lord is with you wherever you go? Don't you know that even David said, he said, if I make my bed up in heaven, the Lord is there. And if I make my bed, if I go down to the lowest part of Hades, the Lord is there with me. Don't you know that the Lord is with you? And amen. And the Bible tells us that if God said, if I am for you, that I'm more than the whole world against you. Don't he tell us that? Don't he tell us, amen, that he would, in Joshua, he told us, I will never abandon you. God understands that, man, as we are moving to, as he elevates us, he's moving us, he's teaching us, he's instructing us to be able to move to the other side. He's going to the other side. Y'all good? Amen, amen. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen, but that's okay. As we journey through the scriptures, amen, the things that you know, may have traumatized us, amen, like I said, abandonment was an issue, you know. Sometimes dad didn't stay around. He didn't stay long. I felt I had abandonment issues, and my daddy was in the house. Why? Because after 14, I really didn't have a man to come before me and teach me anything. You know, well, they may have taught me. I take that back. They may have tried to teach me, but then I was so weird about, I was bad about saying, you ain't my daddy. And that probably caused me to miss some lessons down the road. Because you nobody don't want no honorary boy talking about, you know what I'm saying? I take that as the thank you, Lord, because if I'm going to be healed, I need to understand it wasn't the fault of nobody else. That was my fault. Even though my dad was in the house, I still felt abandoned because he wasn't there. I used to see Brother Gary. I used to see, I played basketball in high school, and my dad died, was in ninth grade, so I made JV in the ninth grade, made varsity in the 10th grade. See, I was that good, Gary. I'm trying to tell you. You already know, though. You know about that jump shot. But anyway, but my dad never got a chance to witness none of that. He didn't get to see me play one game. And I used to see the other kids come, and their dads and their moms be in the stand. Now, my mom would come. She didn't understand the game, but she would come. She was there. And the other guys have their dads there cheering them on. That's my boy. Do this, do that. I didn't hear that. And that bothered me sometimes. And I would go home some nights, and I would say, man, I wish my daddy could see me play. So that's one of the things that when I started having my own sons, I always said that I would miss nothing, no important things in their lives, and I haven't. James Cohen kids, though, I don't care. If I got to be off work, Jackie, I'm going to be off work. I'm going to tell them ahead of time, look, my son or my daughter, whatever, they got this going on, I ain't going to be here. Well, you ain't got no time. Well, I'm going to have some, but you figure that out when I get back. I ain't coming. And so that was one of the reasons why I was that way, because I didn't have that encouragement in my life like that. So sometimes, even when we go through trauma causes us to make decisions, amen, that we normally wouldn't make. And that wasn't always good, because sometimes they could have fired me. Amen? So let's go on. See, one of the things that God did with Israel, Israel was having issues because Israel had been in bondage for over 400 years. They had been in bondage 400 years. They had been in slavery. Amen. Israel had been enslaved by the Egyptians. So God had to break that prison. I mean, I'm gonna say prison, but they had to break that prison mentality. He had to break that because they was used to they wasn't used to doing they only was used to being when they was ordered to do something, or maybe by, and then probably physically with something. So some things they didn't understand. So God was, as he was leading them, amen, and he knew that there was some trauma, but God was telling them, he said, even with the trauma, he said, but you seen the miracles. During the trauma, you saw the miracles. You saw God open up the Red Sea, and your mom and your dad, your grandfathers walked through. You saw it. You saw the miracles. And he said, now as I carried you through Jordan and allowed you to walk through the river of Jordan, you saw the miracles. We experienced the things of God, amen, through our forefathers. Well, we saw them, great miracles that took place. And sometimes we act like God ain't with us. Sometimes we forget what God has done. You forget that when you were sick and the doctor basically couldn't really tell you what was wrong with you, amen, but yet and still God healed your body. You act like that times that you had issues, amen, when you couldn't get two nickels to rub together, amen, but yet and still God found a way. You always had a way to get that bill paid. You forget, amen, that when your character, maybe your reputation wasn't that great, but God put his hands around you and said, you mine. Where everybody else was making jokes and saying things that was not maybe cute or whatever to you, amen, but God was saying, that's all right, I'm with you. You are mine. So God said, you saw the miracles. You saw the things that I did, amen. And then you have to understand that the children of Israel, that when they were walking, they were being led by Moses. God was leading them in the day by a cloud and at night by fire, amen. He gave them food, fresh food from heaven every day. But yet and still, they still were talking about when we was in Egypt. Because they hadn't gotten over the trauma. The trauma was still following them because they were still talking about what happened. Apostle tells us all the time, you cannot win tomorrow battles by fighting yesterday's wars. You can't go forward if you still, every time you get ready to do something, I can't do it because she don't like me. God loves you. Hallelujah. I can't do this because they against me. But Bible, I just quoted the scripture. The Bible said, if God said, if I be for you, I'm more than the whole world against you. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God gives me the strength, gives me the ability, gives me the know-how to do things that I don't even know how to do if I seek him. So God is moving us. I'm telling you today, amen, that we cannot allow trauma to travel with us. We cannot carry, we can't put that in the bag, amen. We can't put that in the bag and carry it with us like and wear it like a badge of honor because God is trying to move us. This is a new day, amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Clap your hands, amen. Say, this is a new day. God is getting ready to do something brand new, amen. He's getting ready to do something that he's never done before. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, sir. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, I had 3 points, amen, 3 things. How do we keep, we talked about residue. Residue is something, a waste that's not taken up. See, trauma that they had in Egypt, amen, there was a residue. That's why they kept always, that's why residue had to be eradicated. Because every time that God was trying to do something, they had residue of the negativity that was happening in Egypt. So every time God did something, they still had residue of the last time when they wanted something and it seemed like God wasn't moving fast enough. So they complained, amen. They complained in the wilderness when it was eating, amen. And they started talking about, he said, God, he said, when we was in Egypt, we had food, we had onions and leeks and we ate. But the devil sometimes a lie to you because the devil, if they had it, they was too tired to eat it. They were too tired to enjoy it because they had to get up the next morning and make straw out of brick. Amen? Make brick out of straw. Yeah. So they didn't have time. Whatever job they had, if they were tending to a cattle or whatever, they didn't get an opportunity to enjoy the mount. They didn't get a time to enjoy the food that the Egyptians were feeding them because they were working them as slaves. So God said today, He said, in your next crossover season, prepare yourself to walk in deliverance. Walk in deliverance. Amen. Many of us, amen, we may be free, but we ain't delivered. I worked, those of you, most of you that's partners, y'all knew I worked as a parade. I worked as a probation officer, and I worked in the jail for over 30-something years. I worked in the prisons and things of that nature. And sometimes we would have guys that had been in prison a long time, even though they was in prison, but they knew more about what was going on out there than the people that was out there. Why? Because they were still learning. They were still, they still kept their mind open. They even though anybody, one of my favorite movies, amen, is the movie they call Life. Anybody watch the movie? Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy. You remember that that Eddie Murphy, the role that he played, no matter what they told him, his mind was always in the boom boom room or getting out of there and taking. He never thought about prison because his mind was set on his mind was set. Sometimes we got to let our mind free. Sometimes we got to take our minds off negativity. We got to take our minds off those things that will not allow us to move over to the crossover that God is trying to get us to. We have to take our minds off those things. So the children of Israel were walking around. Amen. If you would, and I know that was not on my paper, but I hear God saying, turn with me to Exodus 18:1. And Moses, the Bible says that, and Moses, because Moses was about to work himself to he was basically working himself to death. So Joshua saw these things, but Moses before that, he said the father-in-law Jethro, the priest of the Midian, heard about everything God had done for Moses and his people and the Israelites. He heard especially about how the Lord had rescued them from Egypt. So everybody gonna hear your story. Everybody going to hear. God said everybody has a story. That's a story that God wants to rescue you from, to keep you, amen, to move you to the things of God. So God said, so God had his father-in-law. We know that in this text of scripture that Jethro was telling Moses that he was doing too much because Moses was hearing the people. He was trying to hear the people pray. He said, hey, you take too much on yourself. And he gave him instructions. I mean, before there's any elevation, there got to be instruction. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as I was going, as I was reading, as I was preparing this lesson, I saw that when we talked about the residue, the children of Israel had residue. The residue of the children of Israel, they could not, they still had the trauma of being slaves. They still, you know, they were free, but they didn't know they was free. You know, I tell a story I used to cut up about a lot when I worked in the prison, but then again, that wasn't a good thing to say. And the Lord had to be with me because I could have got my head busted by saying that. But I would have guys that was been in prison a long time, and I would say, you were in prison, I say, if the gates fall down, you won't go nowhere. And technically, they shouldn't go nowhere because they go somewhere, they could be manhunted down and things of that nature. But I was saying that because I was saying they love prison more than they love being outside, which that was not a good thing to say. Thank God for deliverance. Amen. Amen. I would not say that today. But back then, I didn't know God then like that. But sometimes in our minds, we are in prison in our minds. We can't get forward because we keep going backwards. We can't go forward because we keep bringing about, oh, when I was with so-and-so. You know when you were with so-and-so, that wasn't working. But what our mind would play tricks on us. If I had this man right here, I'd probably do better. But then again, it ain't the man, it's you. It's not the, so because a lot of times, you know, we have to be able to move out, we got to move ourselves. Apostle did an illustration last week. He said he was talking one time, and I think he was talking when he was in Rockingham. He said he was thinking about going to another location, but his brother told him, say, even if you go there, you got to take you with you. So even if I leave and I don't work on myself and I go to New York, or I go to Atlanta, wherever I go, if I don't work on myself, I'm still going to take me with me. And I still gonna have those same issues if I don't work on getting freed. If I don't work on getting delivered. I don't work on hearing the word of God and hear what God has for my life because God is trying to take me to a crossover, but I can't cross over because I got yesterday issues with me. So I said today, how do you keep when we talk about residue, it's a small amount, but then a small amount of residue can cause a whole lot of problem. Being a criminal justice major, a lot of times when they and Jackie was a police officer, a lot of times being a criminal justice major, when you investigating a murder and somebody shoot a person, one of the things they try to do is check your hands to see any residue on your hands. Because if there's residue on your hand, then they say you're the one. You're the one that did that. So, but it don't have to be a whole lot. Just a residue, just a little bit of residue of gunpowder. It would show. It would tell them, say, this is the person that did that. So God is saying today, he said, with the residue of your last hurt, the residue of your last, maybe you didn't get the promotion that you wanted, and because of that, you allowed that to keep you from applying for other promotions. Maybe you are sick, amen, and you feel like because you saw a family member go through those same issues that you feel like, hey, that's just my lot. That's not your lot. That's not your lot. I decree every day that cancer cannot live in my body. If it get in there, it got to go. I live it every day because I saw my dad with it. I don't go diabetes, and my mom had diabetes. I don't go around and say, oh, well, my mama had that. No, I try to conduct myself in a way that I don't receive those things. Now, hereditary, sometimes those things do happen, but they don't mean it would dominate me. Because I believe God is going to heal me. Amen? I believe God will heal me. And I've had living examples in my life where I've seen people with that disease, and I saw how God worked with them and worked through them. My wife is one of them. So I watched it. I seen it firsthand. I had a front row seat. And I saw her decree the things of God over her body. I saw her say, well, I'm not going to be on all this medication. I saw her say all these things, and all those things that she decreed, amen, came to pass. So I know that God don't have no respect to person, so he don't love Loretta no more. He love me. So he did it for her. He'll do it for me. So God is, we have to understand that if we cannot allow the residue of past hurts to keep us from moving where God wants us to go. I said, God, how do we keep residue from traveling with us? And the first thing, first one, we sanctify ourselves. Joshua 3:5. We have to sanctify ourselves. Sanctify ourselves meaning that set ourselves aside for God. Set ourselves aside to let God speak to us. Set ourselves aside from God so we can get instruction what we need to do. The Bible said Joshua instructed the people, get yourselves ready, hallelujah. Set yourself apart, hallelujah. For Yahweh, tomorrow Yahweh will perform for us a great, great miracles. Amen. God said through Joshua, and notice that this is Joshua talking. He was telling them what God told him. As men, as being leaders, there are times that God's going to talk to us and tell us what thus says the Lord. And we need to go and talk to our people, the people that God sent us to, and say, this is what God said. That's what we work. It's a work in progress, but God's going to do it, because just like he had to work, Joshua didn't always have that confidence to do that. But God taught him. God spent time with him. As God's going to spend time with us and talk to us and allow us to do the things what God has called us to do. Amen. So first thing you got, the first one is you got to sanctify yourself. God, sanctify yourself meaning that sometimes you have to separate yourself from things that don't please God. Sometimes we saw in the Bible that when Jesus did, every time he did a great miracle, what did he do? He would go away and hide himself or go somewhere into mountains and pray to his God. There are times that we have to do those same things. But there are some times that we just get, maybe we don't have to go to the mountain, but maybe we can go to our closet. Maybe we can go to our bathroom. Maybe we can go to our living room, wherever we are. Maybe we can go to our car, and pray to God and sanctify ourselves. Say, God, I'm setting myself aside for you. I'm setting myself, oh God, aside so I can hear what you want me to do in my next season. Say, look at your neighbor and say, there is a next season. There is a next season. There is a next season. And God is trying to get us to that next season. But before we can go there, and before he elevate us, we got to be able to understand and follow the instruction that he give us. Amen. So the first one I said, you got to sanctify yourself. So Joshua was telling them, say, you got to sanctify yourself. But if you would, go back to verse number 4. I like number 4. I like number 4. Number 4 says, and so you will know which way to go. So this is Joshua talking to the priests, and he's telling them how to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And he said, and since you have never marched this way, God said, hey, I hear God said telling you, amen, since you have never went this way, since you have never marched this way, hallelujah, since you ain't never heard anything like this, hallelujah, follow about a half a mile behind the Ark. Don't go near it. Number five, let's go to number five. Number five, Joshua instructed the people, get yourselves ready. Set yourselves apart for Yahweh. Tomorrow, look at your neighbor and say, there's a tomorrow. There's a tomorrow that God wants me. Look at your neighbor and say, there's a tomorrow that God is trying to get me to. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, Yahweh will perform for us great miracles. There's a tomorrow. We can't worry about what's going on today. Even God, Jesus told us, said, don't take no notice of what's going on today. Amen. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Don't worry about what's going on tomorrow. Let tomorrow take care of itself. Because on tomorrow, there's a miracle going to happen. On tomorrow, I don't know, your tomorrow may not be Monday, but your tomorrow may be Tuesday. But on tomorrow, God said he's going to do great miracles. Hallelujah. Are you an expectation? Are you really believing what God is saying, or what God is saying today about your next wealthy place, your elevation, amen? You getting ready to be elevated in the name of Jesus. If you would, turn to Isaiah 43:18 and in the TPT. I love it, I love it, I love it. Y'all all right? Yeah. So. Isaiah, 43. In the TPT, it says, stop dwelling on the past. Look at today, it says, stop dwelling on the past. Girl, he already gone. Amen? He already gone. She already gone, brothers. Stop worrying about her. Stop dwelling on the past. Amen? But don't even remember these former things. I've already forgot about it. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, I've already forgot about it. Because on verse number 19 says, hallelujah. Verse 19, I am doing something brand new. God said, I'm doing something brand new in your life. I'm getting ready to do something in your life that you have never experienced before. Amen. Are you ready for the newness? Are you ready for the newness? God said, I'm getting ready to do something brand new, something unheard of. Even now, it sprouts out and grows, hallelujah, and matures. Don't you perceive it? You got to get ready for it, amen. Just like the farmer, amen. When the farmer planted seeds, amen. When he comes, he expects to see some corn. He says he's a beans, amen. He's looking, amen, looking for the sprout. Can't you see it? Hallelujah. Can't you see, amen? I just want to give you a few seconds, amen. Just watch God. Just imagine God, amen, do the preview of your life, what he's getting ready to do. There's a preview. God's getting ready to do something. Can't you not see it? Can't you not perceive it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I will make a way in the wilderness for you. God said, no matter where you go, you can be in the wilderness. A wilderness is supposed to be a desolate place. That's supposed to be a place where nothing else can get to you. But God said, I will make a way for you in the wilderness. I don't know what your wilderness experience is, but God said, I'll make a way for you. Hallelujah. I'll make a way. Hallelujah. I'll make a way in the wilderness and open up, hallelujah, flowing streams in the desert. Now, hallelujah, glory to God. Now, Minister Marsh, I know you was in the military. I know you was in the army, right? And did you ever do desert training? Well, that's, y'all didn't do this. But I did desert training. I was out in the desert for like 45 days, amen. So 45 days I was out in the desert, and I recognized in the desert, early in the morning, amen, about 9 o'clock in the morning, Brother Jackie, 9 o'clock in the morning in the desert, it's already 100-something degree. It's already 100-something. It'd be so hot in the desert sometimes that we would take our ponchos and put them over our jeeps so the shield of sun. Guess what would happen? It would melt the ponchos. And we would feel a liquid drip. It'd be hot wax from the plastic coming off the poncho. That's how hot it would be. And then sometimes, one of the reasons I don't want to go to hell, I think I experienced that 45 days. Amen. At least a little bit of that. So I remember with that. And then in the nighttime, when the sun go down, you'd be pulling for a blanket. It'd be so cold. It'd be so cold out there. You'd be trying to get a blanket and everything else. But so they made sure that we had a lot of water. But then we had pumped in water from where we had come from, and we had trucks that give water. You know, y'all, we call them, you remember when they call them water buffaloes? Yeah, and they would have water buffaloes, and it would be filled with water. But there was no water out there in the desert. But God said, he said, I will open up flowing streams in the desert. Yeah, God said, God is telling you, get excited about what God is doing. God said, there's no place that you can go that he can't be with you. He said he loved you so much, there's nothing that you can experience that he won't do anything with for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, if I have to, I'll pump water out in the desert for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. You remember, and we hadn't got there, but you remember the story of Joshua? And Joshua was fighting Ai. He was fighting somebody, one of those nations, and it looked like the sun was going down. And Joshua said, you know, God, if you just let the sun stand still. That's how God loved you. God, if he did it for Joshua, he'll do it for you. He said, just let the sun stand still. He said, yeah, I just give me a little overtime. You know, those of us that know anything about playing sports, we know about overtime. Give us a little overtime so I can defeat this nation. Amen. Just ask God for it. Ask God for a little overtime. Ask God. Say, God, can just give me a little overtime so I can do what I needed to do. Amen. Hallelujah. The second thing was, is to seek God through prayer. If you want to keep trauma from the residue of trauma from following you, amen, the second thing you must do, seek God through prayer. Luke 18:1 in the Amplified version. And the Bible says, now Jesus was telling the disciples, I just read this, a parable to make the point that at all times there ought to be prayer, they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart. Let's put it in the TPT, let's see what the TPT says. And the Bible says one day Jesus taught the apostle to keep praying and never stop or lose hope. He shared with them his illustrations. And we know the illustration. He was talking about a judge thing. We're not going to go in there. But if you want to keep the residue of trauma from following you, you need to seek God through prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the third one was, if you want to keep residue of trauma from following you, the third one is you must focus on what God has for your life. Amen. Joshua 1:8 in the NLT. Joshua 1:8 in the NLT. So the third point was, if you want to keep residue from trauma from following you, you got to keep focused on what God is doing. Amen. You cannot take your eyes off the prize. How do you do that? Study the book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and so you will be sure to obey everything. What did it say? Everything or some things? Everything. So that means you focus on those things that you don't like, because you know we always do the things we like. You know that means that thing. If you don't like forgiving people, then that's a part of everything. Because we know forgiveness is a self-invested interest. Forgiveness is a self-invested interest, because if we do not forgive others, God said he will not forgive us. So we cannot afford not to forgive. But it said everything. He said everything. And you know, I like that because back in the day, I had an uncle. When my aunt would fix our plates, and sometimes she would put stuff on the plate that I didn't eat, Bro Jack. So I like squash then. Sometimes he would put stuff on the plate that I didn't eat. So my uncle say, and then we had fried chicken. I like them. Fried chicken, biscuits, I love them. Rice and gravy, I love that. But I didn't like squash. So my uncle said, well, I know you're gonna eat all the other stuff. So what you don't like, eat that first. So what you don't like about whatever God tell you, or if there's a restriction, something you don't like about what God tell you, you do that first. See, then I'm helping y'all. Y'all don't even know. If you do that first, then all those other things you like, amen, they come from fruition. But then you don't want that one thing. We don't want to be like the rich run ruler, the one thing that keep us away from the blessings of God, that one thing. The ruler have been doing the things that they like all his life. That one thing he didn't like is giving up all his stuff. Amen. And it kept him from going to his next wealthy place. How could you not tell God that you don't want to give up something when he owned everything? It was God anyway. It was his. Well, the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof and everything that dwell therein. Don't the scripture tell us that? So it was his anyway. So the third thing, Joshua 1:8, it goes on to say, he said, meditate on it day and night, and so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. When you do everything. It didn't say when you do some things. It didn't say when you do one thing. He said everything. So in order to do that, we must find out what God like to do. How God wants to bless us. How do me and God stay on the same page? Only way we stay on the same page is I meditate His instructions day and night. Meditate day and night, the word of God over my life. God, you told me I'm gonna be great. God, you promised me that God like to hear you repeat what He promised you. You know, did He say, don't the Bible say God's promises are yea and amen? So God likes to hear you repeat what He promised. Because if you can repeat what He promised, then that let Him know that you are serious about receiving what He got for you. Amen? So, get ready to close. I'm going to talk about one person, amen. Because, you know, we've been talking, like I said, we talk about the residue of trauma. Jabez had some residue. Jabez had a problem. 2 Chronicles 4:9 in the NLT. 2 Chronicles 4:9. And it said, and hold on, I might be in the wrong book. Hold on. I can't read my own writing sometimes. It's 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 4:9. That's my fault. And the scripture says, it goes on to say, 1 Chronicles 4:9, it tells us that Jabez said, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. So every time, can you imagine that you know your name mean pain? Can you imagine every time Jabez said something to his mother, you know, that go pain? One translation say sorrowful. They go sorry. Every time he had to live with that. But Jabez, one thing Jabez did, he did not allow that to handicap him. Well, go to the next verse. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. God said, even though my name means pain, God, I want you to expand my territory. Even though I don't have a good character or reputation because of my name, but God, I still want you to bless me. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from the trouble and pain. And God granted him. What God do? Granted him his request. Why? Because God said, I'm not going to allow the residue of your pain to keep you from your next wealthy place. I'm not going to let the residue of your pain keep you from me elevating you to where I want you to be. It was God's plan the whole time. Even though Jabez had a name of sorrowful and painful, it was God's plan the whole time for him to be blessed and be added that territory. It just didn't come when Jabez. God had a plan. His plan for us, amen. God had a plan for us even before we were born. That's why David said, you knew me when I was in my mother's womb. There were some things that you wanted to do for me, amen, even before I even know about it. And sometimes, hallelujah, if we don't get delivered, because sometimes we don't know all what God has for us. Only way we can know those things is we ask God and we talk with God and tell God to do it. Many of us, amen, many of us are living in the things of God because God is continually instructing us. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, God did not allow the things of pain and sorrow to keep Jabez from going where he wanted to go. Because God had a place for him. God got a place for you. I don't know what, I can't tell you, well, I don't know what may be your trauma. I don't know what may be the thing that may be keeping you from where God wants you to go. But God has a plan for you. And look at your neighbor and say, where I am now, it is not it. Where I am now, it is not it. Hallelujah. God got something for me. God promised us, amen. God promised us that we should have a fruitful life. And maybe because if it's not happening, that don't mean God has not said no, amen. You know, it may be delayed, but it's not denied. God still want to do it in your life. God still want to move in your now stage to get you to where He wants you to be. God said, I'm telling you tonight as I'm getting ready to close that God is getting ready to move us, amen, to a new season. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, because Jabez understood that once you are in Christ, now he understood, he said, I know God got something for me. You got to understand, even though you might not be where you want to be at this time, but you got to know that God got something better for you. You got to know it. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to know it. You got to know it. You got to know it. This is not it. This is not it. And maybe God has blessed you real good. Maybe you do it real well. But it's still not it. Because God, blessings of God is forevermore. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he says, this means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. So your new life is in Christ has began. So now, because your new life has began, you need to start thanking God for your new life. You need to start thanking God for the newness in your life. You need to start thanking God for the promotion. You need to start thanking God for your joy. Hallelujah. The world, this joy that I have, the world can't take it away from me. Hallelujah. Oh, can't take it away from me. He can't have it. But this joy that I have is given to me by Jesus. He cannot take it. Hallelujah. Because the devil can't take it because he didn't give it to me. It's time for us to start looking for our joy. It's time for us looking for our peace. It's time for us to start looking for our healing. Because God said where we are now, there's something new that He's getting ready to do. He said, you ain't never seen this before. You ain't never seen it. Even though you may have experienced the best of God in your life, but you ain't seen His best. Woo! You ain't seen His best. Even though He's been real good. Hallelujah. He's been real good. The old folks say, God been so good. He's real good. But He's getting ready. He's getting ready to do something different. He's getting ready to do something better. He's getting ready to do something more. Hallelujah. Can you receive it? Can you perceive what God is doing? Can you perceive that God is getting ready to take you to a wealthy place? Can you see it? That God is getting ready to make you fruitful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that Jesus said that even now the apostle told us that God want to put an imprint on our lives. Hallelujah. If you would, hallelujah, turn with me to Psalms 119 and 11 in the NLT. If God want to make an imprint. God is trying to make an imprint in our lives. He's trying to make an imprint. And the Bible says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. That's the imprint. That's the imprint that God, the word in our heart. See, when the word get imprinted in our heart, Minister Williams, when the word get imprinted in our heart, then we know what God said about us. You know what you know. Hallelujah. You ain't nobody got to tell you because you know God has already imprinted that in your heart. You already, when you show up, you say, well, I ain't got to worry about, do God want to bless me? You know the scripture, the Bible said that the man that brought his son to Jesus, and when he brought his son to Jesus, he said, Jesus, you can heal him if you want to. Why? Yeah, he want to. Because he want to. God want to bless you. God want to heal you. God want to deliver you. Ain't that if he want? If it's not even a part of God's conversation. He want to. He want to. Look at your neighbor and say he want to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Isaiah 65 and 24. Last one. I know y'all ready to go, amen. And, y'all fathers that are here today, I know y'all ready to go and open up your gifts, amen. Hallelujah. Y'all know, sit around and eat some chicken and some macaroni and cheese. Yeah. I know. I'm going to let y'all go. Isaiah 65 and 24 said, I will answer them before they even call me. Have you ever, God ever answered you before you even asked him? He said, that's how much I love you. That's how much I love you. He said, if it's on your mind, hallelujah, I'm going to do it for you, hallelujah. While they were still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. He said, even while you're talking about it. God said, why are you praying? God said, why are you praying about it? He said, why are you praying about it? I'm going to go ahead and answer your prayer. He said, I'm getting ready to do it. Hallelujah. This is the new thing. This is a part of the newness. He said, I'm getting ready to do it without you asking. How many of you got some plans? Amen. You got some plans and some prayers. You got some things that you want to see from God, but sometimes you don't want to talk about them. Amen. Because you're not confident. You may not be confident of what God's getting ready. But God said, even before you call. He said, even before you call, I already got the answer for you. I'm already going to do it. You ain't got to do it. He said, well, you start talking to him about it. He said, you know what? I've been wanting to do that a long time. I'm glad you talked about it. I'm so glad you brought it. I'm so glad you brought it to my attention. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that you told me that you wanted to be healed. I've been wanting to hear you, but I'm glad you said it. Hallelujah. He said, that's what I want to do for you. He said, I want my word so imprinted on you when you show up. I ain't trying to pick on you, Minister. Well, I know you was in the military like I was. Then you know, like sometimes on payday, they had the vault open. You remember when they used to pay you back in the maybe you weren't in the army at that time. But they used to pay you in cash. Did they pay you in cash? They paid us in cash. I'm telling y'all how old I am. But they paid us in cash, Elder Calista. So they had a big vault. Had a big vote, and in that vote was the money. So when you go in, you have a captain at the desk. So you come in this way. The captain's sitting here, and the money's behind the captain. So when you walk in, you say, "Sergeant Cohen, reporting for pay, sir," and they pay you money. Can't you imagine picking up your blessings like that? You walk into God and say, God, this is Minister Marshall. I'm here to get my blessings, sir. Can't you just imagine walking up to God and say, God, this is so-and-so. I'm here to pick up my blessing. Because he want to give it to you. Can you just imagine what God want to do in your life? Hallelujah. Brother Harvest, can you just imagine walking up to God and say, God, can you imagine? God, I've been asking you this a long time, but God, I'm here to pick up my blessings, sir. Woo, I like it. He said, can you call God, sir? He said, can I come and just pick up a blessing, sir? Can I pick up my healing, sir? Can I pick up the things that you promised me, sir? Can I just pick it up? Hallelujah. God said, your order is ready for pickup. Your healing is ready for pickup. Your healing is ready for pickup. Your breakthrough is ready for pickup. Hallelujah. It's ready for pickup. Hallelujah. God's time said it's time for elevation. He said we cannot allow the trauma to follow us to our next crossover. Our next crossover. Amen. Yeah. All right. So if you have some issues or you know God wants you to cross over, but you probably need a little confidence, or you want us to pray with you, you want us to stand there and come and encourage you in the things of God, I'm going to open up the altar, and I ask God that he would come. Amen. And you can come. You can come. Because we serve a God that never lost a battle. He never lost one. So whatever you need, your need is not too great for God. Whatever you need, God has it. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, God has it. Yeah. So, being today is men's day, I want to pray with the men today. Because sometimes we go through so many obstacles. We fight wars, amen, that sometimes our spouses and our children don't even know we fight. There's times we go through things and we try to withhold those things because we know if we sometimes in our mind, if we release them, then it will put pressure on the person that we release it to. So today, I want to be an ambassador of blessings. Hallelujah. Ambassador only does the power, what the president gave him power to do. When he's in other countries, he don't have no power other than the power that the United States give them. And today, I want to be an ambassador for God. today I want to pray with you and encourage you in the things of God. Because God has something better for us. So at this time, men, if you would, I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God. I'm hearing God. I know I heard him. I'm hearing him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother, I saw you when I walked in the door. And God told me to tell you that his presence is with you. You got to have confidence to know that he is with you. Sometimes God's with us and we think we by ourselves. And sometimes we walk, and we think we're walking alone. And God has his arm around us and he's carrying us and he's encouraging us the whole time. But we don't see him. Because we don't see him because all we see is us. We don't know him. But God is with you. And God is going to deliver you. God told me to tell you, whatever the trauma that God had, that the trauma that you have, God said he's getting ready to break that. He's going to release you. And he said he's going to give you a whole makeover. There's some things that you've been asking God for. You ain't said it out loud. You just be thinking about it. You don't say it. God said, yeah, I heard it. Just like the scripture said, he said, I will answer them before they even call. While they are still, that's scripture. That's your scripture. That's what God told me to tell you. He said, while they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayer. God said, I'm going to answer your prayers while you're talking about it. He said, but God said, when you talk about it, he don't want you to talk about it to anybody. He wants you to talk about it to him. You know, because sometimes what happens, we can discuss our problems with someone, and they don't really listen to us. They act like they listening. But I heard somebody say, out of 100 people that you tell your problems to, 99 don't care, and the other one is glad as you. But God said, I'm with you. He said, I'm getting ready. He said, your deepest prayer, the deepest thing that you want, God said, I'm getting ready to deliver you. He said, and then I'm not only that, he said, I'm going to make you an emblem to the other people in your area. People going to tell your testimony before you can tell it. God said, people going to look at your life and say, yeah, everybody got a I remember when story. Everybody got I remember that when he didn't do this or when he, we all got them. But they going to say, that was God. That was the purpose what God was telling the children of Israel when Joshua was telling them about the 12 stones. He said, this is for them to say, I know this was God. And God is going to break through in your life, and he's going to break through in a way that you have never seen him before. The best of you has not been seen yet. God has the best of you in mind. Father, I thank you for this young man that came, oh God, to seek prayer this morning. I thank you, God, that how you will open doors for him. God, I thank you for the newness that's going to take place in his life. I thank you, God, that even now, God, you say any man is in Christ as a new creature, and old things are passed away. God, I thank you, oh God, and all things become new. I thank you, God, for all the newness that's taking place today. I thank you, God, that even when you finish, oh God, he will be unrecognizable to the others, but he will be recognizable to you. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, for his body. I pray that sickness would not dwell in his body. I pray, God, for divine healing over his body right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that everything that would try to hold him back, everything would try to keep him from seeking your face, oh God, I pray it would be eliminated now in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you are Lord. Father, you promised us wherever we stand you up, oh God, we stand you up in this man's life. And Father, you do what you promised him in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Minister Tim, I pray for you continuously. I see the level of God, the places. Actually, you ain't going to believe this. Well, you're a man of God. I saw you standing here 2 years ago. I saw you. And I saw you standing here 2 years ago, that you was going to come and you was going to give your talents and things to God. Not that you haven't before, but you get ready to do it in a way that has never been done before. You've been a great preacher. You've been a great singer. You got all that. But God said, I'm getting ready to do more. God said he's getting ready to put a prophetic voice. You're going to be a prophetic voice for other guys just like you. Your word is going to be deliverance to them. And it ain't always going to be, thus says the Lord. It's not always going to be, God's going to share something with you, and you're going to go share it with them, and they're going to say, that's God. Because there's something. There were some things that was trying to attach themselves to you. But God put a shield around you. And every time that those things would try to attack you, there was a shield around you, and it would bounce off you. Because God said, I saved you for a purpose. He said, you've been a preacher, you've been a teacher from the days of your youth. And he said, because of those things, amen, there were some things that tried to attach themselves to you. There were some things that tried to come to you, come against you, that would come against your character. But I'm telling you today, God's releasing you. You're going to be a great father. You're going to be a great father. Noah will decree the goodness of the Lord. Your son Noah, he would decree the things of the Lord. He calls my daddy. And I know the enemy is in this thing, but as you give yourself to God, there's gonna be some wars. There's gonna be some things that you're gonna win because you don't even know God is fighting for you like that. And that's gonna be some thing. All of a sudden, you're gonna get some calls from the other side. Your wife and all of them, you're gonna get some calls. And that's gonna be a reconciliation. That's gonna be some things that I'm not gonna say y'all gonna get back together, but y'all gonna see some things eye to eye. It's not gonna be a fight. It's not gonna be a struggle no more. Because God said, I'm with you. And in order, see, God does some things to show us, like, sometimes when we think about our fathers, sometimes our fathers brought to the table all that they knew. Some of them didn't know God. They thought they did, but they never spent time with God. And because of that, we saw that, and we thought that's how God was, but God didn't want you that way. God said he have saved you for himself. And he said, as he give you instructions, he's going to deliver you from every hurt, every pain that the enemy has tried to come against your life. You are a new man in Christ. You are victorious in Christ. You are a winner in Christ. You are above and not beneath. Amen. You're going to be a lender and not a borrower. You're going to walk in places, amen, and people are going to bless you because of the fact of the anointing and the things that you have that God has promised you. There's blessings coming to you that you ain't asked for. There's blessings coming to you because of your diligence in him. When it was popular for people your age to do other things, you were seeking God. And maybe there's some things you may not did everything, but you were doing enough that God said, I'm going to save you for himself. And God says today, he said, just keep stay humble. Stay hungry for the things of God. Stay hungry for his word. Hear his voice. Listen for his voice. Amen. And God said, everything that he promised you, you receive it. And not only that, you will be an emblem to your family. I see your mom rededicating her life to God because of you. I see nephews and cousins and things because of Minister Tim Marshall. That's a weight that God has placed upon you that you didn't even ask for, but that's why he gave it to you. And because he gave it to you, he's going to assist you with it. You don't supposed to do it by yourself. He's supposed to do it with you. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for this man of God. I thank you, God, for his obedience. I thank you.